Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn in your New Testaments to Mark chapter 1. If you were with us last Sunday for Resurrection Sunday, you know I started a series in the Gospel of Mark that I'm calling On Your Mark. See what I did there? As we run the race with perseverance, the race set before us, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. But I didn't start in Mark chapter 1 last week. I started in Mark chapter 16. I started with the end in mind. Because the resurrection of Jesus was and is the turning point in history. As Mark set out to write his gospel, I think sometimes we in the 21st century think to ourselves, what do I have in common with this ancient text? This writing is 2,000 years removed. This is a foreign place. This is a time long ago. Sometimes we think it's difficult to relate to this ancient book, and I get that. If we stop and think about just how old and how far removed this book is, it can be daunting. But one thing we do have in common with Mark, who wrote this first gospel, is that he and we live on the post side of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus happened, and Mark, as well as the other gospel writers, had some years to really think about the significance of what has happened. They had time to go back into the Old Testament and see how prophecies were fulfilled in the person of Jesus. They had time to reflect on the significance of all this, and so one of the significant things that we have in common with Mark is that we live on the post side of the resurrection, not the pre side, not the Old Testament side. As they were anticipating Messiah, they didn't quite understand or know how all that was going to unfold, but now on this side of the resurrection, we have the benefit of hindsight, looking back and reflecting on the implications and the meaning and the significance of the resurrection. And so, as Mark went to write this gospel, he wrote it with the resurrection in mind. And that's very significant for us. As we begin this race, as we run the race of faith with Jesus, we run with the end in mind, that Jesus conquered sin, evil, death itself. And so now we can begin in Mark chapter 1, as Mark, now with the resurrection in mind, set out to write an account of the life and ministry and significance of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Mark begins his gospel here with the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Very interesting how the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, begins with the beginning. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. At one time there was not, but God spoke, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And now as Mark has had time to reflect upon the significance of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, and now his resurrection, Mark has come to the conclusion that there is now a new beginning that has begun in Christ Jesus. And so Mark's opening words here echo the opening words of the Torah. For centuries, Jews have proclaimed, "In the beginning, God created." And now Mark is saying, there is now a new beginning in Christ Jesus. And this is very significant. Mark mirrors the Torah with an updated beginning, and it's a new beginning for us. Yes, God created the heavens and the earth, and now with the event of the resurrection, we now have a new beginning, and it all centers around Jesus. And not just any Jesus, but look at the titles that Mark gives to Jesus. In some translations, we read the word Messiah and Son of God. That's important because Mark is stressing here that Jesus didn't come to establish a new religion. As the Messiah, Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament and what the Old Testament people of God have been anticipating for centuries. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament hopes and prophecies. But Jesus here ushers in a new beginning. And we need a new beginning. You ever feel like, man, my life is stagnant. My life is going nowhere. I need a new beginning. People feel like that all the time. If I just get a new job, maybe my life will take on some new significance and some new meaning. And maybe they go on and they get a new job, and it might be a good career change for them, but there's still something inside that says, it's not quite the new beginning that I had hoped for. Sometimes, and I've heard many people say this to me, I just need to move to a new city. I just got to get out of here. And so they'll get away as far as they can, maybe move to the East Coast or to a different country. And the change may or may not be good for them, but that new beginning still doesn't resonate within them and fills that deep need of that new beginning that they truly needed on the inside. If we want to go a little darker, sometimes people say, I just need a new drug, you know? I just need a more potent drug. I just need something new to get me going, to get me started, to maybe to help me to forget about some of my problems. Here's one that our culture is dealing with. I just need a new identity. I just need to change who I am. That's what my life needs. I need a brand new identity. And we know what's happening in our culture today is people are really seeking such a drastic change, thinking that that will fulfill the need for this new beginning in their life. I need something new in my life to bring fulfillment and meaning. And Mark is saying the new beginning that humanity needs is now found in Christ Jesus. He's the new beginning that we need. He has ushered in something new that demonstrated a power over this world, and he's the one in which we find our new beginning, our new identity, our new hopes and dreams. The beginning of the gospel for us, the good news, is found in Jesus Christ. For anybody looking for that new start in life, that new beginning that really has ultimate meaning and purpose and destiny, Mark is saying, and I resonate 100% with him, that our new beginning is found in Jesus Christ. One of the things Mark is asking us to do as we read his gospel, as we hear his gospel, is that he's asking us to trust him. Can Mark be a trustworthy voice? One of the ways that Mark asks us to trust him is by listening to a very trusted voice from long ago, and that is the voice of the prophet Isaiah. By quoting the prophet Isaiah, Mark brings credibility to his story, to his telling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah said centuries ago, prophesying of the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So Mark is asking us to trust his voice. We are then asked to trust the voice of the great prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah now is asking us to trust the voice of this one who will come on the scene and proclaim the one who is coming after him, who is even greater than him. Why do I bring all this up? Because we live in a day and age today where there are competing voices all around us. Millions and millions of voices. Voices over here, voices over there, maybe even voices in our head. And we don't quite know who to listen to and who to trust. There are voices everywhere. Can we trust these voices? There might have been a time not too long ago, maybe a couple decades ago, when life was a little simpler and there weren't as many voices, and it would be easier to distinguish which voice could be trusted and which could not, but not today. Today we live in a whirlwind of voices, and we just don't know who to believe anymore. There was an interesting survey done a year ago of Americans asked about who do you trust the most in America today? And so 65% of responders, which was the highest response, said, we can trust small businesses. After that, 60% of respondents said, we can trust the military. 43%, which is less than half of Americans, said, we can trust the police. 34% who said, we can trust the medical system. 32% said, we can trust the church or organized religion. At 27%, we can trust the Supreme Court. At 26%, we can trust banks. Also at 26%, we can trust the public schools. 26% said we can trust the presidency. Still at 26%, we can trust large tech companies. 25% said we can trust organized labor. 18% said we can trust newspapers or journalism. 17% said the criminal justice system. 14% said television news. Also at 14%, we can trust big business. And right there at the bottom, at 8%, we can trust Congress. That reminded me of a meme that I saw that I just want to share with you. Trust the government or fight a bear? I'd rather fight a bear.
At least I have a chance.
The point of that survey highlights for us what I think most of us are feeling in today's day and age. Who can we trust? So many competing voices. Truth is not what it used to be. The institutions and the people that we thought we could trust have betrayed us for too long. Who can we trust? Mark is asking us to trust his voice. Mark is asking us to trust the voice of the great prophet Isaiah. And they're both asking us to trust the voice of this eccentric one who comes from the desert, dressed in weird clothing, and speaks authoritatively about the Messiah who is to come. Can we trust this John the Baptist who dresses oddly? I mean, look at how he is described as what he wore and ate. Verse 6, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Really? We're going to trust his voice? The voice of this eccentric man who, in our context, he would be like someone who lived out in the forest and we would see only every so often. And he comes on the scene and he tells us to hear and respond and listen and trust his voice. But this description of John the Baptist is not by accident. It's very much on purpose. And it's very reminiscent of another Old Testament prophet that we have to make this connection. Otherwise, this story doesn't make sense. In 2 Kings 1:8, the prophet Elijah is described as one who had a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist. And not only that, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, you might remember when Zechariah found out that he was going to have a baby boy, and he was visited by the angel Gabriel, and the angel said to Zechariah that his baby boy, who was John the Baptist, will come in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Why is this so important? This is important because God's people, the Jewish people, were taught in the scriptures that when the Messiah arrives on the scene, he will be introduced to them by Elijah the prophet. And Jews to this very day still believe this. When Renee and I were in Israel 22 years ago now, our tour guide was an Orthodox, staunch Jew. I mean, you can't get any more staunch than he was. And we were walking somewhere, and I caught up to him, and I asked him, I said, why is it that you Jews do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And he shot right back at me, and he said, it's very simple. We are told in the Old Testament that Elijah the prophet will come and announce who the Messiah is. They take that literally. But what happens here is that John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah, the power of Elijah. Elijah was already dead. But God sent John the Baptist in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to proclaim that the Messiah has now come. And so John was so much more than just this eccentric fellow who lived out in the wilderness and ate weird food and dressed crazily. No. He was anointed by God to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And so Mark now is asking us to trust his voice, to trust the voice of the prophet Elijah, and to trust the voice of John the Baptist. Very significant for us because he's laying the groundwork that this gospel of his, this good news of his, can be trusted. In a world of competing voices with who can we trust and who can we believe, Mark is saying, you can believe this and you can believe the gospel. What happens if we listen to the wrong voice? They tell me that in track and field, there's something called a false start. And a false start occurs If an athlete moves within 0.1 second after the gun has fired, why is that? Well, they've done studies that indicate that the human brain really cannot hear and process the information from the sound of a start gun in under 0.1 second. So if an athlete moves before 0.1 second, and I know we're talking minute time frames here, if an athlete moves, either they have jumped the gun, they've anticipated the starting gun, or they heard another sound, but that's called a false start. We in our lives make false starts, or we go down the wrong path if we listen to the wrong voice. It is important that we give our attention to the right voices, the voice of truth, the voice that will guide us and lead us. We have the trusted voice of Mark, the trusted voice of the prophet Isaiah. We have the trusted voice of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner to Jesus. And by the way, every single one of us, if we know Jesus, have had a forerunner in our lives. Somebody told you about Jesus. Could have been a parent, Sunday school teacher, a friend, but somebody in your life was a forerunner to Jesus, just as John the Baptist acted as the forerunner for Jesus. Someone was a trusted voice in your life that told you about Jesus, and you trusted them enough to believe them, to look more into Jesus and your need for him. And so today, I'm asking you to trust Mark, Isaiah, John the Baptist, and John the Hanna. Because as a preacher of the gospel, I function as a forerunner. I want to tell people about Jesus. I do tell people about Jesus. I need to be a trusted voice that points people to Jesus. And if you want to be an evangelist in the Church of Jesus Christ, as we are all called to be evangelists and missionaries, you need to be a trusted voice as well. Because you will function as a forerunner for someone who does not yet know Jesus. There's another voice that we see in verse 11 that was very significant. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 11. John the Baptist had just baptized Jesus. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? He set an example for us on how to begin this race of faith. Jesus set the example that those who would follow after him should also be baptized. But there's another voice here in Mark chapter 1 that's a very significant voice. After Jesus was coming up out of the water, a spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That's another voice that you need to be able to distinguish, is the voice of God the Father speaking to you. There is no substitute for God's voice, but there are a lot of imitations. And as we run this race of faith, as we grow in our walk with Jesus, as we mature, we will learn to be able to more clearly hear the voice of God. And here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus did not start his ministry until he heard the voice of God. Jesus needed God's approval, God's voice, more than any other voice before he began his ministry. You need to hear God's voice speaking to your heart, telling you your worth, your value, how loved you are, how pleased he is with you. And when you hear God's voice speak to your heart so clearly like that, nothing will stop you from starting this race of faith, because you know you've heard God's voice. There's another voice that we need to be attentive to today. Look at verse 15. It is the voice of Jesus himself. The first recorded words of Jesus in Mark's gospel. And this is what Jesus says in his own words. "The time has come," Jesus said, The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. That is the voice of Jesus himself. Jesus came on the scene proclaiming the good news, the beginning, the ushering in of the kingdom of God. The new normal, as we talked about last week. Jesus came to usher in a new normal, and that is now the kingdom of God that supplants all other kingdoms across this world. The kingdom of God that is filled with justice and righteousness and equality for all. The kingdom of God that is eternal and will never perish or fade away. And there's a whole new set of standards for those who would live in the kingdom of God. We are to find our primary, really our only identity as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom of God. And we enter the kingdom of God by repenting and believing the good news. A lot of voices that we need to listen to. The voice of Mark. The voice of Isaiah, the voice of John the Baptist, the voice of God the Father, the voice of Jesus, and finally, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us softly, quietly, tenderly, lovingly. It's the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice." And in those moments where you're struggling, you need direction, you need comfort, you need guidance, maybe you need correction, listen to the voices, the trusted voices that scriptures tell us that we can trust and listen to. But really, we need to listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, faithfully guiding us, guiding His church, challenging us, urging us to keep on going. Listen to His voice above all others.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.